This is the 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News in the headlines. A government senator says flexibility for the head of state is needed in Senate appointments following the recent resignation of two independent senators. Parliament passes the Constitution Amendment Bill, paving the way for an independent Speaker of the House. BSEN calls for transparency in the Economic Diversification and Growth Fund. And the Child Care Board calls for support for reading and mentorship program rollout. Good morning. I'm Carol Toppin. Government Senator Liz Thompson is calling for a review of the rules governing the tenure of independent senators. She raised the issue during debate on the Constitution Amendment Bill, which has now been passed in the Senate. The bill paves the way for an independent Speaker of the House and increases the membership of the lower house from 30 to 31, ensuring a clear majority while allowing MPs to continue speaking on behalf of their constituents. Senator Thompson's comments come a week after the resignation of two independent senators.
Our constitution, as currently structured, once you are appointed as an independent senator, there really is no removal mechanism. And the idea behind it is that the independent senators really should be allowed to have some degree of autonomy and independence. And in theory, they are representative of some particular national interest or thought, which some group or the president, whomever that person is, may want to have represented in our parliament they are used in the widest possible context.
She offered a scenario to suggest that the office of president must have greater flexibility to make changes in the Senate.
But let us assume then that there is a series of cyber attacks on the country. The president may decide, look, COVID is no longer a problem, but these cyber attacks are a problem. I would like to change my senator. But the legislation, the Constitution as currently structured, does not allow even the appointing president that flexibility. And therefore, it is something that we should consider and at which we could look in the future because it does have implications.
Deputy President of the Senate, Senator Liz Thompson. Earlier, Leader of Government Business in the Senate, Senator Lisa Cummins, laid the Constitution Amendment Bill, stressing that the Speaker of the House would no longer be drawn from the elected members of Parliament.
So the proposal, Mr. President, in this first section of the legislation is that the person sitting in the chair must not be a representative of a constituency, and they must have the ability to speak on behalf of the person who is elected, must speak on behalf of their constituents, and the person who sits in the chair must not be elected on behalf of constituents. And so that is the separation that this amendment now brings.
Leader of Government Business in the Senate, Senator Lisa Cummins. Meanwhile, opposition Senator Andre Worrell questioned the timing of the bill.
Mr. President, I would hope that this amendment today is not being passed solely to enfranchise an individual, because you ought not to deal with legislation in that way to enfranchise an individual. So I would honestly hope that we are not being rushed here today to adopt legislation with the specific intention of enfranchising an individual. That ought not to be done in any legislature, and it definitely should not be done with any legislation which requires a constitutional amendment, Mr. President.
Opposition Senator Andre Worrell. The Barbados Consumer Empowerment Network, BSEN, wants government to ensure there's greater transparency in the Economic Diversification and Growth Fund. BSEN's Executive Chairman Maureen Holder acknowledges Prime Minister Mia Motley's rationale for a new government fund, recognizing the importance of job protection and improving Barbados's global standing. But Holder raises deep concerns over the structure of the bill and how it was presented to the country.
BSEN recognizes the Prime Minister's explanation of the need to protect jobs, earn foreign exchange, and ensure Barbados remains competitive internationally, which includes the important objective of maintaining compliance so as to avoid blacklisting by the OECD and FATF, the Financial Action Task Force, are commendable objectives. But we have become over-compliant and over-regulated. But this is another matter that needs to be discussed at another time. But we understand the government's intention, which is to promote jobs and encourage economic growth, things that we are in favor of. But we remain concerned about how this fund is structured and presented to the Barbadian public.
She adds that Barbadians must clearly see how the money is being used to benefit the country.
Our key concern is that citizens clearly understand how the fund will work in practice, who will benefit, how results will be measured, how public money will be reported over time. Audits are important. Yes, the Prime Minister talked about audits, but public confidence depends on ongoing transparency and measurable outcomes. This is public money, and consumers, in fact, all citizens, deserve to see how it is being used to deliver real and lasting benefits for this country.
Executive Chairman of the Barbados Consumer Empowerment Network, Maureen Holder. Acting Senior Child Care Officer with responsibility for residential care at the Child Care Board, Sherri-Ann Ware, is calling for support to launch a reading program and a mentorship program for boys within the Child Care Board. In an interview with Starcom Network News yesterday, Ware said support from corporate Barbados is welcomed.
We're looking at the possibility of inviting members from corporate Barbados to assist us where our reading programs are concerned. We would also like to see a mentorship program. Residential care has a number of males, and as you so rightfully said, it's not in terms of speaking about vulnerable males. Males in residential care are vulnerable. And we would really like to see a system or mentorship program being put in place, which would be able to provide that necessary guidance and moral support for the boys so that their journey through this turbulent time, having to be separated from family, is a bit easier. So those are two of the things that we're thinking about and looking at and hoping that we can put in place by next year.
Meanwhile, Director of the Child Care Board, Roseanne Richards, announced the ongoing renovations of a facility that will offer psychosocial support services to the children within the institution.
We are in the process of establishing a secure treatment facility where we can offer more psychosocial support to those children, vulnerable children who exhibit or display behaviors that need further professional treatment. So that facility is very purpose as we speak, and it should come on stream sometime next year or early in 2027. But I must also say that we've had a new child protection legislation, and I know that we are going to be amalgamating four social service entities, the Child Care Board, the National Assistance Board, the National Disabilities Unit, and the Welfare Department. And it is my hope that once those four entities are amalgamated, we will be able to provide more holistic and dynamic services to children, parents, and families within Barbados.
Director of the Child Care Board, Roseanne Richards. The Salvation Army is reporting a sharp rise in the number of Barbadians seeking assistance from the organization. Divisional Business Manager Sherma Evelyn says the Salvation Army has significantly expanded its outreach, distributing thousands of food hampers across the island to support the most vulnerable.
Across the island, we'll be giving out food hampers, 4,800 food hampers this time. But we also have an ongoing food pantry program, which is throughout the year. So where families come and receive a food hamper, and that's for our vulnerable people. It has increased. It has increased. We have persons coming for food hampers, and also our feeding program has increased, especially our Meals on Wheels part of that program. For the year so far, we have served 40,000 meals for the year, and that's up to October.
Divisional Business Manager with the Salvation Army, Sherma Evelyn. Recapping the headlines, a government senator says flexibility for the head of state is needed in Senate appointments following the recent resignation of two independent senators. Parliament passes the Constitution Amendment Bill, paving the way for an independent Speaker of the House. BSEN calls for transparency in the Economic Diversification and Growth Fund, and the Child Care Board calls for support for reading and mentorship program rollout. And that was a 7:30 edition of the latest from Starcom Network News. Starcom Network, a member of the OCM Group. Don't miss the latest with Starcom Network News at your fingertips. For breaking news, follow the Starcom Network News channel on WhatsApp. Also follow Starcom Network News on Instagram and our website at starcomnetwork.net for updates. I'm Carol Toppin. Good morning.